Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with today's message, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. He was a prophet who prophesied to the southern kingdom of Judah in Jerusalem, right up to the point of where God brought punishment down upon that nation for their disobedience, their idolatry, and sent them into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And Jeremiah the prophet was constantly pointing the people to the true and living God, who reveals himself in the salvation of his people by his grace through the promised Messiah, the Christ, who would come years later. Well, I'm going to be preaching from Jeremiah chapter 9, and the title of this message is To Glory in the Lord. To Glory in the Lord. And what I'm going to talk about, it may take me two messages for this. What I'm going to talk about is what it means to glory in the Lord. Now, we're going to glory in something, whether it's ourselves. To glory, in essence, especially the word glory in the New Testament, means to boast. It's actually a boast. It has to do with where our confidence lies. And so man by nature will glory in something. This is really appropriate to the book of Jeremiah here, verse 23 of chapter 9. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah 9, verse 23. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." If someone is very intelligent, or if they're wise, you know, there's a difference between what we call knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is to know the facts, to know the details, to know the information. Wisdom is to know how to use that in a way that's profitable, in a way that will help. And so he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. So if there's one who is, you may be very smart, you may have a high IQ. And that, if that's your boast, is that your confidence? But what Jeremiah is talking about when he approaches the people here is these are issues of salvation and a right relationship with God. And so if a person is smart, or intelligent, a genius, let's say, or just generally smart, to glory in that, to boast in that, means that you think God smiles upon you, or God accepts you, or even that God, some might go so far as to say that God will save me because I'm so intelligent. Or to interpret that intelligence or that wisdom as a blessing, okay? Now, it could be a blessing, but it could be a curse. So he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Someone who is strong, powerful. Is that what you boast in? And what we have there is these two issues of wisdom and knowledge and strength. They're sort of emblematic, symbolic, let's say, of the works and the wills of men. Do you glory in your works? Do you glory in your will? You say, many people today think they're saved simply because they made the right decision for Christ. Those who are saved, they do decide for Christ. They do agree with Him. They receive Him. But they can't, you can't glory in that. That's what Jeremiah is saying, because that's not what makes the difference between saved and lost. And so he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Then he says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Someone who is blessed with the great wealth, property, whatever. Okay, and again, if you interpret that to be a blessing from God, be careful. It could be a blessing, but it could be a curse. You know, the Bible speaks of those who glory in their riches, and they give their time and their efforts to at the expense of worshiping, following the Lord. And those riches become a curse. You know, in Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke a parable of a rich man who gloried in his riches. And then there come a time when he says, thou fool, tonight, this night, your soul shall be required of you. So that's what Jeremiah writes here in verse 23. But now look at verse 24. He says, but let him that glorieth glory in this. Now listen to it. That he understandeth and knoweth me. Talking about the Lord God. That I am the Lord. That word Lord there, the title Lord there, means Jehovah. And it's talking about God revealing himself in salvation. I am the Lord, which exercises. Now listen to this. This is so important. Loving kindness. Now we all love to talk about the love, the kindness, the mercy, the grace, the compassion of God. But it doesn't stop there. He says that that understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. But look at the next word, judgment. Judgment. Not only, God is a God of love, loving kindness. And any time we preach the gospel of salvation by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're preaching the love of God to His people, not to all without exception. Because God is also a God of judgment. He brings judgment. In fact, the Bible says that God reveals Himself in judgment. But then the next word, righteousness. He exercises loving kindness, but He also exercises judgment. In other words, He exercises loving kindness, but not at the expense of judgment. God must do right. He must judge. And what is the basis, the foundation, the standard of God's judgment, which actually becomes the standard of His love? And He says it's righteousness. Righteousness. What is righteousness? It's justice. It's perfect satisfaction to the justice of God. And listen to what He says here. He says, I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. The Lord is dealing with His glory as revealed in the earth. And He says, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to quote those verses out of Jeremiah chapter 9. And what Paul was talking about here is salvation, God's salvation that fully lies in the glorious person and the finished work, the righteousness of God revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells them that salvation is all of grace. Now that means this. That means that salvation is conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that Christ alone met and fulfilled those conditions to secure the entire salvation and eternal well-being of all the people whom God had given Him before the foundation of the world. That's why He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so, this is what Paul is saying here, that he's saying the glory of God is wrapped up in the revelation of God. God making himself known in the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. And so he says the reason that God set it up that way, and if you look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 29, he says the reason that God has set it up that way is that no flesh, no human being should glory in his presence. I don't have any reason in my flesh as a human being, because I'm a sinner. I fell in Adam. I was born dead in trespasses and sins, ruined by the fall. I've sinned against God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So that no flesh has any right to glory in himself, in God's presence. Now you may glory among men, and men may be impressed. Men and women may be impressed. But God's not impressed, because his glory is the highest glory. And so he says, here's where God's glory lies. Look at verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 1. But of him, of God, are you, that is you who believe, you who are saved, in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom. The only wisdom, when it comes to salvation, this is what he's saying. When it comes to salvation, and a right relationship with God, how God justifies the ungodly, how God forgives sin, how God makes me righteous in his sight. And it's not by my works, it's not by my will, it's not by my riches or my strength or my intellect, but it's of Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom. You see, when you see the gospel, the gospel of God's grace, that is wrapped up in the person and work of Christ, that is the very wisdom of God. Over in 1 Corinthians 1, right across the page there, he says in verse 22, listen to this, we'll divert just a little bit here. Verse 22, he says, for the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, human wisdom. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, the death of Christ. What did the death of Christ accomplish? The glory of God. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, called by the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel and brought to faith in Christ, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. Remember, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Christ is the power of God. I have no power to save myself. I have no power to make myself good in God's sight. I have no power to establish a righteousness of my own. I have no power to wash away my sins, to do that which is required. Well, where is that power? Christ is the power of God. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. And so it's Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So look, jump back over to verse 30 now. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. And who of God is made unto us righteousness. Now what is righteousness? Remember what we read over in Jeremiah 9 and verse 24. Let him that glorieth glory in this. All right? That he knows God, the God of loving kindness, the God of judgment, the God of righteousness. Well, where do I find righteousness? Some people find it in their decisions. I made the decision for Christ, and that made all the difference. Oh, no. No, Christ alone makes all the difference. In other words, the Bible teaches us that in ourselves, left to ourselves naturally, we would not choose Christ. It says there's none righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good, no, not one. None that seeketh after God, no, not one. The natural man, he says that down in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're foolishness unto him. And he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. So, what is this righteousness? Well, it's the righteousness of God which is, now listen to me, it is the merit, the worthiness, the earning power, you might say, of Christ, of Jesus Christ in His death, His obedience unto death, as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer, and the preserver of His people. The guy in Romans chapter 1, Paul calls it the righteousness of God revealed. And when he said that in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, to the Greek also. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The justice of God against my sins is revealed in the glorious person and finished work of Christ. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, holiness. Christ is my holiness. What sets me apart from the unbelieving, unregenerate, that is not born again, world? What sets me apart? Is it what I wear or what I don't, what I eat or don't eat? What I drink or don't drink? No. That doesn't set anybody apart. What sets me apart? It's my standing, my state in Christ. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my whole salvation, my wisdom, my righteousness, my holiness, and redemption. Redemption from sin is by the blood of Christ. It's not by what I do. It's not by what I decide. And so he says in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 1, that according as it is written, now he's referring back to Jeremiah chapter 9, our text. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you're going to boast, if you're going to brag, if you're going to express confidence, then express it not in yourself, but in God. Now let's get back to something very basic here. Exactly, what is the glory of God? Now, I quoted earlier Romans 3:23. That's a verse that is familiar to just about anyone who calls himself Christian, where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what we're talking about, to glory in the Lord, to glory in God. Well, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Well, we can say it in different ways. To glory in God, for example, is to believe Him. If you don't believe God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation, you're not glorifying God. You're calling God a liar. The Scripture says, if you don't believe God, you're casting dispersion upon His character. You're saying God is a liar, God is not faithful, God is not true. So to glory in the Lord is to believe what God says. The glory of God is the revelation of His character, His nature. Now, you know, when we see among humanity, if you see someone who is a man who is handsome or a woman who is beautiful, that's their attribute, their characteristic. And many of them glory in that. It's all surface. But you can't see God. God is invisible. God is spirit, you see. So how are we going to glory in God? Not by how He looks. You can draw a picture and say, well, that's God, but it's not. You glory in God by the revelation that He gives of Himself in His Word. Who is God? What is He like? It's the revelation of His attributes, His nature, His character, everything about God. God is holy. That means there's nobody like God. He is alone, unique, nobody to be compared with God. He is so unique and simple. He's not made up of parts like, you know, we have our parts. No, God's not like that. He's singular. He's simple. When I mean simple, I don't mean easy to understand. No, He's so high above us, we can't even fathom the fullness of the glory of God. Scripture says that. God is immutable. He does not change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's not like us. He doesn't change his mind. I know there are passages in the Bible that talk about God repenting. But God doesn't repent the way that we repent. Our repentance is a change of mind, but not God. There are other passages. One, for example, says God is not a man that he should repent. If you change, you got to change for the better or the worse. God is loving. God is love, the scripture says. God is merciful. He delights to show mercy. God is a God of grace. All of these attributes. We could go on and on. He's righteous. He's just. He must punish sin. He must punish sinners to whom sin is imputed. Sin is charged. God is hatred. The Bible says, God, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Psalm 5:5 says, God hates all workers of iniquity. You say, well, that's not fair, that's not good. Oh no, God's hatred is a righteous, just, holy indignation. And so, that's the attributes of God. God is sovereign, in control. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. It's not God versus the devil, and the devil does what he wants, and God does what he wants, and he'll come. No, God's in control, folks. Any preacher who says he's not is not glorying in the Lord. But here's the point. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where is the greatest revelation of the glory of God found? Well, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's the God of creation, who glorified himself by the act of creation, has shined in our hearts. Now who's that? The hearts of his people, believers, born again people, given a new heart. Shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You want to see the fullness of the glory of God? Look to Christ. His face here is that which identifies and distinguishes Him. It's not talking about an actual replica of His face or a drawing or a painting. It's talking about the glory of His person. Who is Jesus Christ? The Bible says He is God manifest in the flesh. You want to see the glory of God? Look to Christ. And what did He do on Calvary to save His people from their sin? He brought forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value, whereupon God, having imputed that righteousness, charged it to His people, is just to save them and to forgive them and to justify them. We who are saved stand before God in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness imputed to us, charged to us. We have nothing to brag about or boast about but Christ crucified. And that's why Paul over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, and I'll deal with this more in the next message, but he says, but God forbid that I should glory, boast, have confidence, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You want to give glory to God? Believe God's way of salvation by His grace in Christ. See that Christ alone on that cross, His death, burial, and resurrection proving it, that He alone makes the difference between saved and lost. He is my righteousness. He is my wisdom, my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. None other. He's the only way to God. One mediator between God and men. If you say there's another mediator, you're not glorying in the Lord. Worship Him through Christ. Follow Him. Look to Him. Believe Him. Rest in Him. He is the only way of righteousness. And there is no other way. It's all by Jesus Christ, having my sins charged to him, he substituted himself in my place and went to the cross, was obedient, even unto death, the death of the cross. And he worked out by his death a perfect righteousness, which cannot be contaminated, a righteousness for his people. And he's called the Lord our righteousness in another place in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23. And that's what he is. He's the very righteousness of God. You can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And his glory is in what he accomplished, not what he tried to do, but what he accomplished on Calvary's cross to save his people from their sins. And his death on that cross is the assurance of their salvation unto final glory. How do you know that? Because he was raised from the dead, meaning that sin was put away, sin was pardoned, and righteousness was established. And so, God forbid that I should glory except in one thing, Christ crucified, the cross of Christ, what he accomplished on that cross to save his people from their sins. And there's no other way. Now that's the glory of God. God glorifying himself in his nature. Every attribute of God's nature, attributes, can be seen working consistently together in the person and work of Christ. His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. So let him that glorieth glory in this, God says back in Jeremiah 9:24, that he understandeth and knoweth me that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, in Christ, for his people, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.